This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your workday. So tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Tass.
Maybe, Macca, there might be some more calls to action after this segment.
Yes.
There might be some more calls to action. Did you know that there has been a 60% decrease in sperm donations? That caught you off guard, didn't it?
It actually sounds a bit of deja vu. I seem to recall that this has happened, or you know, we've been in this situation in the past. So
we're going to chat with Melissa Cameron. Melissa Cameron is from the Melbourne IVF Centre, who's actually been doing some research into this, and we'll be able to shed some light on this. Are you with us, Melissa?
I am. Thank you. Good morning to you both.
Good morning to you.
Am I wrong in assuming, Melissa, that we've actually been in this situation a few years ago, where there was a call back then for more men to become sperm donors, or was I imagining that?
No, you're not imagining it at all. I think the reasons currently are a little bit different because of what's been happening with COVID and so on. About 10 years ago now, the law changed in Victoria to make it easier for people to access fertility treatment if you weren't in a heterosexual cisgendered couple. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we noticed a massive increase in demand for sperm. So in that situation, we just had this really big increase, and sperm donation wasn't anywhere near as common or as well known about as what it is now. I think part of the problem we've got at the moment, just like the rest of our lives, COVID has certainly affected our ability to be able to recruit and, I guess, process sperm donors.
I think one of the questions I have, Melissa, and look, I think IVF has been one of the most astounding changes that has brought good to the community in which we live. But I had a question. There's always been, I suppose, a lot of discussion around if you're a sperm donor, what obligations do you have, or a child that you know is created as a result of that donation, what rights does that child have? Can you encapsulate that quickly? Because I'm not exactly sure in my mind where this sits.
Yeah, and it is difficult. In Victoria, we have particular legislation that differs to other parts of Australia and very different to other parts of the world. So speaking on behalf of Victorians, so if you're a sperm donor through a clinic in Victoria, you are registered as a donor so that we can, maintain your contact details. And the child does have rights to access information about you when they turn 18. Okay. And there's also the potential for the child to meet the donor as well, and vice versa.
Are there obligations? I understand those. So are there obligations on that donor to support, let's say financially or in other ways, that child?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
That's a really important distinction to make.
Yeah.
So particularly through a clinic, that there is no responsibility in forms of financial responsibility. I think some people do have a fear that they're going to get a knock on the door at the age, when this child's 18, and they're going to want, a bit of their inheritance or who knows what. Now, that's certainly not the case. That's a very, very big distinction.
So in terms of, people, COVID has created its own problems, as we know. What sort of numbers do you need, you know, to meet the demand that
you
have?
How many litres of sperm do you need, Michael?
Well, okay. I was trying to be nice. There we go. Answer it in the way that you like, Melissa.
So, look, we could never have too many sperm donors. So, that put it that way. There's as Monty Python said, every sperm certainly is sacred, and I'd have to agree with it. But, no, we can never have too many sperm donors. The more donors we have, the more choice our patients have. We really like to attract donors from a wide variety of backgrounds and a diverse background. Because we do have, you know, our recipients are from very diverse backgrounds. So that's something that, as I said, can't have too many sperm donors at all. We've noticed, even though we've had a reduction in the number of donors this year, we've actually had an increase in the number of recipients.
Oh.
So, yeah, and I think partly because we're very fortunate with COVID that we've been able to continue seeing patients through telehealth consultations, so we've been able to overcome some of that. And you can't do a
donation via telehealth, though, can you?
No. But you can see recipients by telehealth. No, we can't do that. And that's why we've had part of the decrease in donations.
Look, I know you've heard all the jokes and the comments.
I was going to ask you whether our donation techniques had changed at all.
Well, I'm not there for the time of donation, so I couldn't let you comment on that.
Good call. Melissa, a donation is made, and, you know, there's a process, you know, you go through in understanding, you know, all, you know, as much as you need to about the donor. How long, you know, the sperm is frozen, how long is it good for?
Well, once it's frozen, it's suspended in a state of doing nothing, really. So the sperm doesn't get older. So you can freeze it almost indefinitely, and it's amazing how well and how hardy sperm is and how well it will thaw out and survive the process. Once it's frozen, we can freeze it for many years. We do have limitations on that. Obviously, we don't want to freeze sperm for 20 years and then a recipient using it in 20 years' time, because we want the donor to potentially still be alive.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the child wants to have contact with the donor in the future.
So you generally look for younger donors as opposed to older donors,
rules
is that
us
correct?
Out. We ruled out, Tess.
I'm just trying to establish that, Macca.
So we accept donors at Melbourne IVF between the age of 25 and 45.
Yeah.
Mainly so that so less than 25, I mean, to be honest, we don't have many donors who are that young, and I think that's probably reflecting what sort of state you're in and what sort of, you know, challenges you have with your life and what's in the forefront of your mind. Most of our donors are in their mid to late 30s or early to late 30s. Over the age of 45, there are concerns about the health of the donor, the health of the sperm, and the risk of other diseases and so on.
At 45?
Yep.
Well, that means you and I are well and truly gone, Macca.
We're out. I don't know about Paul. No, he's out too.
And from what I understand, Melissa, there are some donors who actually can't donate for biological reasons. What does that mean?
Well, each donor, we certainly would take each donor and put them through the process. There's very rarely do we right from the front say, no, you're not suitable to be a donor. Obviously, they need to understand the restrictions and the requirement for being registered and the potential for contact. If you wanted to be a donor but you wanted to be completely anonymous, you wouldn't be suitable for a program here in Victoria.
Okay. Right.
So, from a biological point of view, look, it really depends on what that history will be. So most of the people we would accept as donors, but if there's a major medical illness that's at great risk of being passed on to children, then that probably means you're not suitable.
So if you had a cancer, for example?
Not necessarily. I mean, cancer could be cancer of anything. Mm. So there are a lot of different cancers that wouldn't necessarily put your life at increased risk or the life of a child at increased risk. So we do assess each donor on their own merit.
And what about HIV?
Well, HIV, no. Unfortunately, we can't accept HIV-positive donors as part of the Victorian legislation. As opposed to, if we think of the blood bank, where if you are a person who has, a man who has sex with men, you wouldn't be able to donate blood. A lot of people think it's the same situation for donor sperm, but it's not. So we, as again, as I said, we accept, you know, we award proceeds to each donor and just make a judgment based on the individual factors.
Great. So just before we wind up, if any of our listeners this morning wish to make a donation,
they
how do they
make,
do that?
They want to make the gift of life test.
The gift of life. you've been racking a line, Macca, haven't you, this morning?
The one thing I would say, I met with a patient yesterday morning who has a child by donor sperm. I got to meet the child. She was absolutely delightful. And I have known this patient for several years. And she's just so grateful. And it really does change people's lives. Donating sperm. So, yes, it is the gift of life, but it's more than just life. It's really changing these people's lives for the better.
Yeah. So how can people make a donation? What do they do? So, where do they go?
So the first step would be to ring Melbourne IVF, and the number is 1-800-111-483. It's not as simple as just turning up and leaving your sperm on the counter. It's much more process than that. So we do put our donors through quite an extensive counselling process, and part of that is information giving and receiving. And this is a big decision to make in your life. It's not, you know, you're not choosing what you're having for breakfast. This is potentially a lifelong decision. So we do support our donors through a counselling program. They have quite extensive medical checks, blood tests, some genetic health checks as well. We obviously check the sperm and make sure that there are swimmers heading in the right direction. And then the number of donations that will be made will partly depend on the quality of your sperm and the amount of sperm we get. So it could be anywhere between 5 and 10 donations. And then the sperm is quarantined, so it's frozen for 3 months. The donors aren't quarantined, just the sperm. And then at the end of that, we repeat blood tests and so on, make sure that there's been no infections turn up in the meantime, and then we can allow our recipients.
Fantastic.
That's great.
Look, fantastic.
I appreciate you being a good sport, Melissa. It is
always happy to talk about sperm.
Yeah.
Look, thank you very much for your time, Melissa.
It's such an important issue, and I think the work of the clinic is so important. It's created so many lives, but it's changed so many lives.
And made so many people happy, Macca.
Yeah, and, you know, give the gift of life. Give your sperm.
Thank you, Melissa. Enjoy the rest of your day. Take care of yourself.
Thank you very much.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.